This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Effectual Data Creation Facility Production.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 238, which I'm calling Early to Bed, Early to Drive. Yeah, we're going to attempt a drive down to our new home in eastern Tennessee tomorrow. Most of the drive is on main roads, but in the past, we were routed along small backwoods type of roads for the final part of the journey. Those roads were most likely wiped out because of the flooding caused by the recent storm. Wish me luck. In other news, I've been feeling a little under the weather lately, always tired for some reason. Hey, but you don't need to hear about my problems.
No.
I get it. So, let's start this episode.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Before I get started today, I have a correction concerning the Masimo Medical Company's CEO resigning story from the last episode. I had stated that Masimo had sued and won a court case against Apple, thus causing Apple to have to remove the blood oxygen monitoring feature from its Watch Series 9 and later models.
Wrong.
Well, I was sort of right. Actually, at the trial, five of Masimo's claims were rejected, while the jury could not come to a decision on the rest of the complaints against Apple. Another trial will be held at a later date in hopes of deciding this matter, if necessary. The removal of blood oxygen monitoring from Apple Watches was a temporary compromise reached by the two companies. I said if necessary because with the recent resignation of the now former CEO Joe Chiano, there's hope Apple and Masimo can come to an agreement in the near future. Also, my new home down in Tennessee is in the area that was hit by the remnants of Hurricane Helene, which also devastated Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia. Luckily, my home is located on the outskirts and further above the areas affected, and not near any bodies of water. The only ill effect our new home has felt is no water service, which was resolved Thursday afternoon. We're planning on making the trip down there tomorrow, hence this early episode, and hopefully the roads are passable. Tech news. Well, let's start off with the usual Apple news, which thankfully is dropping off from the heights it reached before and after the iPhone 16 event. Speaking of the iPhone 16, 9to5Mac.com has the following headline. Apple cuts iPhone 16 orders at key supplier, Barclays claims, unquote. From the article, in a new investor note seen by 9to5Mac today, analysts at Barclays report that Apple may have just cut iPhone 16 production by 3 million units.
Oh no.
Unquote. Barclays says its sell-through checks, whatever they happen to be, suggest a 15% decline year over year for the iPhone 16 launch.
No!
Barclays further claims that the December quarter looks increasingly at risk, their words, for iPhone shipments due to recent order cuts. The reasons for this doom and gloom forecast that Barclays cites are the staggered rollout of Apple Intelligence, the limited adaptation of AI outside of the U.S., and the lack of differentiation between iPhone models. I'd add in the lackluster demand in general for AI in its current form, and the poor economy have something to do with it. Though 9to5Mac sort of dismisses Barclays' take on the iPhone, I mean, you know, that's their job, I think well-respected Barclays is onto something, As I've stated in past episodes, this year's iPhone event could have been done by a press release. There just isn't much of a difference between last year's iPhone 15 and the iPhone 16 models, especially concerning the Pro models. Even the host of Apple-centric YouTube channel Front Page Tech, better known as FPT, opted for the plain iPhone 16 this year over the Pro variant. And he's the type of guy who previously always opted for the Pro models. You know, that's saying something. AndroidAuthority.com is reporting that Verizon is shuttering its texting app in favor of Google's messages. Verizon had its own messaging app in order to make texting better for its customers between Android and iOS, but because iOS now supports the Rich Communication Services Protocol, well, there's just no reason to maintain it. This follows Samsung doing the same with its own messaging app, also in favor of Google's messages. These moves put the big G in the driver's seat regarding future additions to the RCS standards, in my opinion, as the board who governs the RCS standard would be more inclined to adopt the features most people already use. And that includes end-to-end encryption standards. The article hopes that RCS doesn't end up causing even more consolidation within the Android messaging space. I hate to tell you, but it's too late. As I've reported on before, Google has been moving towards making Android more iOS-like.
Oh, no, you don't.
At least they have lately in both looks and function. All the European Union seems set on forcing Apple to open up iOS. If this trend continues, eventually we'll end up with having an Android phone with an Apple logo on it and an iOS phone with a Google logo on it. The result will be a homogenized mobile operating system, and who really wants that? Well, I guess some will, but be advised, such a thing will stifle innovation. And again, that's my opinion. Rumors are starting to circle around the upcoming release of the Google Pixel 9a, which is Google's version of Apple's iPhone SE. Like the SE, the rumors for the 9a has the phone being larger and thinner than its predecessor. According to an article on 9to5google.com, the most interesting rumor about the Pixel 9a is that the phone will be available in the color purple.
Wow.
Previous rumors has the 9a having its rear cameras mounted flat, ditching the camera island design language that the Pixel lineup has become known for.
Aww.
Love it or hate it, I personally like that design. The 9a is rumored to be powered by Google's own Tensor G4 chip.
Yay!
The very same chip which powers the more expensive Pixel 9 series of phones. But it will use an older modem set. Though not mentioned, I'm sure an increase of RAM is happening in order to run AI better. And the 9A is set for release in early 2025. Again, like the iPhone SE 4 is. Oh, and before I forget, Google, like Microsoft, is supposedly looking towards using nuclear power for the company's hungry Gemini AI servers. Google's new TV streamer box is driving owners nuts with out-of-sync audio, reads the headline from an article on AndroidAuthority.com. This out-of-sync issue, which can drive one mad, appears to get worse the longer the box is left on, and briefly gets better following a reset. The problem is system-wide, impacting all streaming services apps. I had the same problem with the Apple TV streaming box, the cheaper one, which had less RAM than the one I use for my main television these days. Since using the newer box with more RAM, I hardly experienced this out-of-sync condition. On the older box, which had less RAM, as I mentioned, I found that closing out all of the apps that weren't in use helped mitigate the audio sync problem, despite Apple's claim that I didn't need to do so. As far as the Google TV streamer's audio sync problem, based on past use of the company's products, especially the Chrome browser, memory leaks are a common thing, and I'm sure that's what's causing this problem. Either Google's own apps or some third parties. I'm sure this issue will be fixed with software updates and pretty quickly. Bloomberg.com has an article which reports that the two satellite television providers, DirecTV and Dish Network, have agreed to merge. The deal will create the largest pay TV provider in the country with about 18 million subscribers. The terms of the deal sees DirecTV acquire Dish and the Sling TV streaming service for $1 and assume $9.7 billion of debt. Now that's a lot of debt.
Yes.
DirecTV is a joint venture between wireless giant AT&T and TPG Incorporated. With this deal, TPG will acquire the 70% stake that AT&T currently holds of DirecTV, effectively making TPG the sole owner of it. Satellite television is dying faster than cable TV even is. I see this deal as a way of both EchoStar and AT&T getting out of that business. Though I live in a large suburb of New York City currently, cable television never worked right at my house. So way back around 1999 or thereabouts, I was the first kid on my block to subscribe to Dish Network. Yeah, I really was.
We choose truth over facts.
I was happy with the service, but as my children grew older, they wanted to watch their own television shows on their own televisions in their own bedrooms. At the time, I only had one receiver in the living room. Dish wanted to charge me over $100 per receiver, plus installation fees. Well, I didn't have that much cash laying around at the time, so my children were out of luck. That is, until I received a postcard in the mail one afternoon from Dish's competitor, DirecTV. The postcard told me that if I switched over to their service from Dish, I would get up to 5 receivers free, plus free installation. And not only that, I would get a free year of the NFL Sunday Ticket Service, which broadcasts all out-of-market football games. You know, that was nice to have, but not really a selling point for me. I contacted Dish to see if I could get a better deal from them, but was told that all the company could do for me was sell me pre-owned receivers for $60 apiece, and plus I'd have to pay installation charges. Well, I canceled Dish Network on the spot. True to their word, DirecTV hooked me up with 5 rooms of satellite television and the NFL Sunday Ticket Service to boot. I maxed out the service, which gave me every premium channel available, and all for about $100 a month. Well, about a year in, prices started climbing to a point where I started shedding those premium channels in an effort to keep the monthly subscription prices down. At its peak, I was paying a little under $300 per month to subscribe to a now almost basic DirecTV. Then the company launched its first iteration of its streaming service called DirecTV Now. It was a carbon copy of DirecTV Satellite, but at a way less cost. I dropped my subscription to DirecTV Satellite service like a bad habit and went with DirecTV Now. Again, I was in content heaven till around 2019. That's when DirecTV Now was changed to AT&T TV. With the name change, the subscription prices started increasing, so I went over to YouTube TV, which was cheaper. Unfortunately, YouTube TV and its competitors like Hulu TV shed their regional sports networks, leaving my lovely wife and I without a way to catch our beloved New York Yankees baseball games. This forced me to go back to AT&T TV, now renamed DirecTV Stream, who didn't get rid of the regional sports networks, and I've been with them ever since. I pay about $150 per month for the service. Recently, Fubo TV has started carrying the YES Network, which broadcasts the Yankees games, and it's for a lot cheaper. However, when I do finally move down to Tennessee, I can watch most of the games on the MLB TV app, which I get free for being a T-Mobile cellular customer. I'll be canceling DirecTV Stream post-haste as soon as I have a date for the moving truck's arrival. I'll subscribe to the cheapest live television streaming service, which carries local channels from my area. Wow, that went on for longer than I anticipated.
Yes.
Anyway, the point I'm attempting to make here is that satellite television has a bleak future. From AndroidPolice.com, T-Mobile just got hit with a $15 million reminder from the FCC to not get hacked as often, unquote. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission, and that's the FCC, slapped the cellular provider with that fine due to repeated data breaches. I've lost count how many times T-Mobile has been hacked since I've been a customer of theirs. It seems like they get hacked about twice a year. It's about time these companies face some sort of consequences for having lax security in regards to customers' private data. If you've been listening to this podcast regularly, first off, you have my condolences. And secondly, you know that I've been ranting about this for quite some time.
Yes?
And not only about telecoms, but all other businesses that cheap out on securing their systems. Over the past year, I've gotten notices from healthcare providers, event ticket selling outfits, auto and life insurance companies, amongst others, all telling me that my privacy data, the data that these entities require me to surrender in order to do business with them, has been compromised. It's like, oopsie, some bad guy stole your data from us. Sorry about that. And they suffer no consequences. I and other customers are left to suffer the consequences for these companies' refusal to secure their systems. And that's over and over again. I'm surprised a law firm hasn't tried to specialize in class action suits due to security breaches by now. Affecting these companies' bottom line is the only way to get them to invest in cybersecurity and to take it seriously. The fine against T-Mobile also includes an agreement in which the company promises to address foundational security flaws, work to improve cyber hygiene, and adopt robust modern architectures like zero trust and phishing-resilient multi-factor authentication. T-Mobile will also have to invest $15 million into internal cybersecurity and update the FCC on the company's cybersecurity status. The FCC said that going forward, this will be the model applied to the industry. Good. Let's hope they stick to it. Though Verizon and AT&T have suffered hacks, T-Mobile has suffered three major hacks since 2023. Cybersecurity at T-Mobile must have been a real clown show. About 5 years ago, my daughter was able to get a phone on my account without showing any identifications while living in a different state. It was all good, but could you imagine if some nefarious actor was attempting this? When I called T-Mobile to complain about this, the rep assured me that an ID was required and was shown in order to complete this transaction. Perhaps an ID was shown, but if the store actually looked at it, they would have seen that it wasn't my name, and I'm the account owner. My daughter later told me that she didn't have to show an ID during that transaction, and that's just plain scary. 9to5google.com is just one of many websites on my newsfeed telling of the launch of the Aura Ring 4. I find this surprising because in the past, I would have received an email or text message or both from Aura about a product launch, being that I've been a user of Aura Ring since 2020. I wonder if it's because I was promised a lifetime subscription to Aura's accompanying app if I upgraded to the Aura Ring 3. Or was I? I've always suspected that the company would pull the rug out from under that offer eventually once they introduced a new model sometime in the future. To my surprise, when I contacted Aura concerning this, I was told that as long as I use the same account associated with my lifetime subscription, I'll be spared being charged any monthly fees. The Aura 4 is lighter and thinner than the version 3 and more accurate because of a new feature called Smart Sensing. Smart Sensing adapts to the user's finger to find the best and most reliable signal for more tracking accuracy. And that's a good thing because my Aura 3 always has a slight gap in data, mostly within sleep tracking. The sensors themselves are now recessed, not protruding like my current smart ring, which should make it more comfortable to wear. The number and types of sensors remain the same, and no new tracking metrics seem to have been added. The charger now has a square base versus the round charger base of the Aura 3 and is made from aluminum versus the plastic and metal of the current charger. A full charge will give you about 8 days of battery life, though getting that full charge can take you up to 120 minutes.
What?
And that's a lot longer than Aura's competitor products take to fully charge. I never let my Aura 3 get fully drained, so that's not a concern for me. Unlike before, you can purchase the Aura 4 from Best Buy and Amazon, besides directly from Aura. The price for the black and silver colored rings is $349.
What?
A $50 increase from the older model. Other colors start at $399 and go up to $499, which is just way too much in my opinion. You know, you're getting into Apple Watch price territory there. So the question is, will I upgrade? Well, it depends. Being that I don't have to pay a monthly subscription, well, think about it. If Aura offers a, let's say, $50 loyalty discount, then I probably will upgrade. If not, I'll probably just stick with my Aura 3 because besides accuracy and perhaps comfort, there's not any new features I don't already have with the third generation ring. Perhaps I'll just hold on until a certain giant fruit company enters the smart ring market.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Get the facts. For your free timeshare exit info kit, go to iCancelTimeshare.com. That's iCancelTimeshare.com. iCancelTimeshare.com.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Check I'm using. Still not much to report on this week, but I do have a birthday coming later this month. Being that we're not settled into our new house yet, my plans on getting a Peloton bike for the occasion is on hold for now. But maybe I will upgrade to that Aura Ring 4. Who knows? I'm going to hold off ordering it in order to see if they offer that loyalty discount like the company did when I upgraded to the Aura 3. Hey, $50 is $50. I guess that offer will depend on how well the Aura 4 sells. If sales are good, I guess no offer will be tendered. If sales are sluggish, I'm sure I'll be receiving a text from Aura making that offer of a discount. Being I have the lifetime subscription membership I talked about earlier, I can bide my time. There's also an Apple event coming later this month. Who knows, they might surprise us by slipping in a new model of AirPods Pro, but I doubt it. Perhaps a USB-C version of the Magic Mouse that you can actually use while charging will be announced. Or how about a new Apple TV streaming box? Out of all those, the USB-C Magic Mouse, along with the other Magic peripherals, are the most likely to be coming. Tim Cook's Apple has grown too big and too cumbersome. Products take a while before showing up these days. And finally, besides the Summarize tab within Apple's email client, I must say that I'm enjoying Apple's new Password Manager app and the new Siri that came along with iOS 18.1. The Password app replaces iCloud Keychain and puts all your safe passwords in one easy-to-access place. It also lets you copy and paste passwords in case you're not using the Safari browser. Siri is more accurate and responsive, and the voice has been improved. I use the, quote, non-ethnic female voice and found it too Californianized, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
The new voice is more clinical than happy and bubbly, but gets the job done better. Also, the Maps app seems more accurate, telling you of a turn or whatever before actually getting to it, not at the last minute like in the past. The CarPlay user interface has had a slight update, and I'll be giving it a workout along with Maps on my road trip starting tomorrow. I'll let you know the results next week. Entertainment news. Nothing but bad news for the section this week. First up, AndroidAuthority.com has an article based on an interview conducted by the Financial Times with Kelly Day, who's Amazon's vice president for Prime Video International. Ms. Day tells the Financial Times that the streaming platform will increase the number of ad slots in 2025.
What?
Oh, no, you don't.
If you recall, Amazon turns its Prime Video service into an ad-supported service earlier this year. Unless you are willing to pony up an extra $3 per month. Presently, you get a small block of ads at the beginning of a program or movie on Prime, before the content starts. Noticeable, but sort of unobtrusive. Now, who knows what this additional ad load will look like when it arrives? I used to enjoy Prime Video, especially their original series and movies, which are all gone now. Police thriller Bosch being the last of them. They did reboot Bosch on Amazon's Freevee service, but stopped producing the show after two seasons. There were other original series that launched on Freevee that were very good, but didn't even get a second season. Nowadays, it's at a point where I hardly watch anything on Prime, which has me debating whether I should keep it around. The only thing that gives me pause is the 1 or 2 day shipping on things I order from Amazon, which Prime also includes. Down in my part of Tennessee, nothing has same-day or one-day delivery, much less two-day delivery. Besides Costco, which I just dropped, Prime has been my longest store-type subscription. I started both in 1999. Well, there's no Costco in my part of Tennessee, so there's no need for keeping that subscription. I've recently signed up for a Walmart Plus membership, and I'll see how that goes for determining which service I get to keep. While down in Tennessee, we used Walmart Plus for a couple of purchases, and we were pretty happy with it. With the Walmart Plus subscription, I also get Paramount Plus streaming service for free, and I watch Paramount Plus a lot more than I do Amazon Prime Video. Well, the future doesn't look very good for Amazon Prime Video in my household. Yesterday, I received an email from DirecTV Stream, which I discussed for far too long in the tech news section. The email notified me that my DirecTV subscription plan is increasing its price by $8 per month.
Huh? What the hell?
Gee, I wonder if the recent negotiations with Disney's ABC network had anything to do with this increase.
Yes.
The only good news here, well, at least for me, is that I'm dropping DirecTV at the end of the month and replacing it with something like Sling TV, which is about a quarter of the price of DirecTV. And that's because I'll have no need for the local sports networks any longer. These streaming services have gotten out of hand with their pricing, becoming even more expensive than cable television. Podcast news. What podcast news? Yeah, there's not much to talk about this week. The 19th annual People's Choice Podcast Awards were held last week. The People's Choice Podcast Awards are put on by Todd Cochran, OG podcaster and owner of the Blueberry Podcast Hosting Service. This makes these awards the oldest podcast award show around. Mr. Cochran just hosts these awards alone on his podcast and various video platforms. No big production here. Now, I haven't had time to watch this year's awards, but I plan on doing so shortly. I'll report on this next episode. I wonder if the rival Podcast Academy is even going to have an event this year. I also wonder if the Podcast Academy even has enough money to put on an awards event. If you didn't know, the Podcast Academy is, or maybe was, trying to be the Oscar Awards of the Podcasting Awards. To be nominated for the AMBY, what the Podcast Academy calls its version of the Oscar, you have to have an expensive membership to the Academy and pay a high nomination fee. The People's Choice Podcast Awards require no fees and are voted on by listeners, not some appointed podcasting incorporated shill. Most of the winners are independent podcasters, and it warms my heart to see this. As far as news goes, Apple Podcast automatic transcripts are now available in more languages, adding Portuguese, Italian, and Swedish to the list. The other languages available are English, Danish, Dutch, Finnish, French, and German. Apple still has a long way to go, I guess. I don't know how many podcast listeners actually utilize transcription services. It's the main reason why I don't bother paying for a service to do so for my podcast. It's nice that Apple does this for shows on their app free of charge. Yeah, I know I said I was going to do a part two, or at least I was considering doing a part two of my take on the last episode of the Now Here It Is podcast, but I've got to hit the old sack now. Long road trip incoming in the morning. As usual, the music is playing and I've got to get some sleep. Only about two episodes left to be recorded up here in New York, but who knows, maybe it'll even be three. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. And you know, you can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. Hey, you know it's Saturday and you're not even supposed to be here, so get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.